too complicated at all, but you have to learn through the dinim. Take for example, in my mother's family, there were four sisters and one brother. So the one brother died, and he had the two sisters had died before him, and the other two sisters were still alive at the time. So his Yerusha is divided in four parts. So each of the two surviving sisters get one quarter. And the other two sisters, my mother had passed away already. Rabbi Aaron Levine, who taught him in the college, his mother was a sister of my mother. So each one of the mothers should get one quarter. My mother had two children, and a son and a daughter. And my aunt had three children, two sons and a daughter. So the din should be that the son gets the whole quarter of the, I get the whole Yerusha, and my sister doesn't get anything. And in the other family, my cousin's family, there were two boys and one girl. So the two boys should get, between the two of them, they should get everything. And the daughter shouldn't get anything. One of my surviving uncles was the executor of the will, so he didn't divide it like that. So he decided that since half of the Yerusha goes to my mother who had passed away, and my aunt, Mrs. Levine, who had passed away, and there are five children altogether, two children in my family, me and my sister, and two boys and a girl of my aunt's family. So he divided half of the Yerusha into five parts, and he gave each one of the children one-fifth of the one-half. That's not the way it's supposed to be divided. The Torah says, Ish ki yomus, a person dies. So if he has sons and daughters, the sons get the Yerusha, the daughters don't get anything. And if they had sons and the sons died already, so the children of the sons get the Yerusha and the daughters don't get the Yerusha. The Gemara even says, a cheshmen, it's easy. Let's say a person had a son and a daughter, and the son died already, and he left the daughter. So it's a toss-up between the granddaughter and the daughter. So the granddaughter gets all, and the daughter gets nothing. Because the granddaughter yarshens from her father. The father was, there was a son and a daughter. But the son gets everything. The son died, so he yarshens bekever, lahanchel to his child. He only had a daughter. So the Gemara says, Bizman HaTanoim, there was a big dispute. There were those who were following the practice of the Christians, the Minim, the original Christians, Mikat Yeshua Notzri, Mem Yuden, said they wanted to give equal rights to the women. This whole fight, the whole feminism, the whole issue started from the Goyim, from the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Those who are fighting for women's rights. And the Gemara says that by the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the Bein Basa Yoshim Ka'achas. So Bizman HaTanoim, there were those tzedukim who said at least you should give in the Tirush HaBas and Bas HaBein. If they're both women, so the daughter should at least get an equal share with the granddaughter. So the din is not so. The bas does not yarshin with the bas haben. Bas haben gets the whole Yerusha, and the bas doesn't get anything. There's a big dispute in the days of the Tanoim. The Ragat Shover lived in the 1900s, early first half of the 1900s. So the Yeshiva Bachma always used to send them kashas, used to send them shailas, kashas. So in the collection of letters of the, it's called Shadas Tshuva Tzafnas Panech. It's not what we would call traditional Shadas Tshuvas. Usually it's Kashas. So once in a while they asked them Shadas. So yes, then what's going to be if we'll establish a Jewish Medina? They were talking about establishing possibility of establishing a Jewish Medina. If they'll have a Knesset, will they be able to introduce a law that the sons and the daughters yarshin equally? So he says, what do you mean? That's a Maisa from Christians. That the Christians are pushing for that. The Orthodox Jews are not pushed to give equal rights to the sons and the daughters. There are more quotes, however, from the Rishonim in the days of the Balei HaTosfos, that the daughters used to feel hurt, that they left out for Yerusha, and the daughters today also feel more hurt than they used to be years ago. So to solve that problem years ago, in the days of the Balei HaTosfos, they used to make a Shtar Chatzi Zocher. They would write a document that they would obligate them. Let's say a person is about to die and knows approximately how much money he's going to leave Yerusha to the children. So he would obligate himself to give to the daughters half a share of the sons. Let's say he's leaving so much money, each son gets, if you'll divide it properly, so each son gets $1 million, so each daughter should get $500,000. He should arrange it in such a way. That's a shtar chatzi zocher, shtar chatzi zocher. Today they say the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. If you're going to make a shtar chatzi zocher, the daughters are still going to feel hurt. So you have to see to it that the daughters get an equal Yerusha with the sons. So you should try to That's what we're going to have to talk about. How can one arrange his tzavo in such a way that the sons and the daughters should get an equal Yerushim? On the level of the Raisa, before you're going to get to any takkanas, there is a din that the Bchor gets pishnayim. My oldest child is a girl, so she doesn't get pishnayim. Even if you only have daughters, I have six daughters, but I have three sons, so I have only the three sons Yarshim, the daughters don't get anything. Even if I only have the six daughters, no sons, my oldest daughter wouldn't get pishnayim. Also, there's no din of pishnayim if a woman dies, and the Yerusha goes to her children, so there's no din of pishnayim by women. It's only if a man dies, I think. Got to look up in the Mishnahs, I think so. I think the din is only when a man dies. I don't know, I don't remember. But it doesn't apply to daughters. If the daughter is the oldest, she doesn't get pishnayim. So this din of pishnayim only applies b'muchsok and not b'ra'ui. What does it mean, ra'ui? So the Gemara has what they call nichse davu adaba. In the beginning of Yesh Nechum, let's imagine Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So each one is a multimillionaire. So let's say Yitzchak Avinu dies, for argument's sake, before Avram Avinu. It didn't happen like that, but let's say Yitzchak would die before. And Yitzchak leaves two sons, Yaakov and Esav. Let's say, for argument's sake, Yaakov is the Bchor, he gets Bishnaim, and Esav is the Poshet, he gets one Shem. Leaving out what the din should be. Let's say, for argument's sake, Yaakov gets Bishnaim. And Avram Avinu dies after Yitzchak. So since Yitzchak didn't have the millions of dollars during his lifetime, so that's called Ra'ui. So Yaakov Avinu is only going to get Pishnayim B'muchzok, whatever Yitzchak had at the day that he died. Whatever Yitzchak, Nechse Davua Da'abo, if Yitzchak Yarshin Avram Bekever, Yitzchak already died. And Yarshin's Avram Bekever, Lahan Chalabonov, so Yaakov doesn't get Pishnayim on that. So that all the Tanoim agree. That's called Ra'ui. It says, what happens in the following case? Let's say Yitzchak was a wealthy man and he lent out money to many other people. And he didn't get to collect the money during his lifetime, and they collect the chayvis after he died. So does Yankov get pishnayim in the chayvis that he collected after death? So that's a machlokes hatanoim in Perek Yesh Nochlin. And we paskan that a milveh is also considered ra'ui, and it's not muchzik, and the b'chor does not get pishnayim. The question is, why is that so? So there's one opinion in the Gemara, one Amara says, it depends whether you lent the money to a Jew or to a goy. In which direction does it depend? So the two girsas, which direction? So one girsa is, if you lent it to a goy, you can kiss it goodbye. You're not sure if you're ever going to get it back. So that's ra'ui. He lent it to a Jew is going to be erlach, he's going to give it back. So that's called muchzor. And we don't paskin like that. So why don't we paskin like that? Why don't we paskin like that? So that's a big question. That's a machlokes between the Nari Behuda and the Shoyal. The Shoyal who sent the Shaila to Nari Behuda was also a big Talmid Chacham. So he was of the opinion that if you have a loan that's guaranteed, let's say, I took out an American bond, United States bond. It means I lent money to the United States government. The United States government is not going to make shtick. They're going to pay up the good for the money, unless the whole government collapses. It's holding by collapsing now. Okay, but not yet. So that's the shiloh. What if the loan, what if the one who owes the money is the government? Or let's say you have your money in a bank account. The bank account is federally insured. So even if the bank doesn't have... whenever you put money in a savings account, that's a halva. I'm lending the money to the bank. Sometimes they're going to pay me interest. They're going to pay ribbis. Sometimes they don't pay ribbis. A checking account, they don't pay ribbis. A savings account, they do pay ribbis. So if you lend money to the bank, all the banks are federally insured to a certain extent. So that's a machlekes between the shoyl and the Nari Behuda. So the Nari Behuda is of the opinion that every halva is considered ro'i al pi din. Even though the Gemara maintained the Havamina, there was one opinion in the Gemara. Depends whether you lent the money to a Jew or to a goy. The only time a halva is called a ro'i if it's questionable whether you're ever going to get it back. But if it's pretty certain you're going to get it back, then it is called muchzak. But the Gemara says we don't accept that opinion. So we don't accept the means al pi din. We absolutely disregard this consideration. Well, no, even if you lent it to a Jew, he may go bankrupt, he may not pay it back. But if it's so unreasonable, it's federally insured, the government is going to pay you all the money back. So maybe the money in a savings account A person dies and he leaves money in a savings account. So is the Bechor entitled to Pishnaim of that money or not? Is that considered Muchzuk? Is that considered? The money is not sitting. If the money is in a safe deposit vault, that's a Pikotin. So that's Muchzuk. But if the money is in a savings account, so the bank is spending the money investing it. So that's a machlekes between the shoyl and the nebi. The shoyl holds that if it's extremely secure halvah, then it's called muchzak, and the nebi Yehuda pasuk is not so. Some of the achrayim think the shoyl is right. The Rav Shulchan thinks the shoyl is right. They say Rav Moshe used to say that today, if you put your money in a savings account, you can go to the bank any day, and the bank is muchiv to give you all the money. I think legally they're not muchiv to give you all the $100,000 that you have in your bank account. They're muchiv to, they probably will give you all the money, but they're only muchiv to have up until a certain amount. So at least, so Rav Moshe's other opinion, let's say you have an ATM machine or something like that. You can go to the bank at 2 o'clock in the morning and push the buttons and take out a certain amount of money. So whatever money you can take out from these savings accounts, Rav Moshe thought that's called muchzak. He thought like the shoyl in the Nadiv Yehuda, that if you're secure and you can take if you go to the bank any day when they're open, you can take out all the money. He thought that's called muchzak. And others are not so convinced. Others think halvo is but like the Nadiv Yehuda. Halvo is always considered roi. It's never considered muchzak. There is another din, habal yerushes ishtoi. The din is if the husband dies, the wife does not yarshin the husband. If the wife dies, the husband does yarshin the wife. The Gemara has a machlekes, hatanoim, and a machlekes, the Rambam, and the Ravid, how we pass, as it happens to be. I'm going to give a shiur on this later today. Whoever's interested is invited to come at 5:45 in the Beis Medrash on this topic about habal yerushes ishtoi. So the din is the husband yarshins the wife, but the Gemara says in Yesh Nechman, habal yerushes ishtoi only b'muchzak and not b'ro'i. So what does that mean? So nechzei davu adaba, that's for sure. Let's say the wife died. Couple is married, the wife dies. After the wife dies, then her father dies. Father dies leaving no sons, only leaving daughters. So you had, let's say, benois tzlofchad. How many were it? Is it five benois tzlofchad? Five benois tzlofchad. So let's say one of them dies before tzlofchad. That's not what happened, I don't think. Let's say one of them is married and dies before tzlofchad. So you divide the Yerusha into five parts. So the Yerusha that the dead daughter gets does not go to the husband. Once she dies, she's not married to the husband anymore. So that's called Eina Bal Yerusha Sishta Bekever. He doesn't Yarshin Bekever. That's called Ra'ui. The husband doesn't Yarshin the wife Beroi. What about the other kind of Roi? That was a Machlokes Hatanaim by the Bechor. What if the wife was a big businesswoman and she lent that money to a lot of people? And she didn't collect the money during her lifetime. And then after she dies, then they pay the debts. So that money she once had. When she died, there was a Chayv. Except that the money was only collected after she died. So that's a major machlokes of Rishonim regarding the din of Eina Bal Yerushes Ishtoi B'ro'i. Do you carry over the both kinds of ro'i, both the ro'i of a Yerusha that she gets from her father, Bekever, after she died already. That doesn't go to the husband, that for sure. That's called Eina Bal Yerushes Ishtoi Bekever. Or does it even apply to Halvor? By Bechor we say, the Bechor doesn't get Pishnaim in the Halvos that are collected after the father died. What about by Habal Yerushes Ishtoi? So that's famous. The Rishonim quote, the Rimigash has a Shtikol Torah and Baba Kama and Baba Basra. The Rimigash holds that it's not the same. It's unclear exactly how the Rambam holds. So the Beis Shmuel discusses this. What's a discussion? Rov HaRishonim Taisvus. Taisvus B'Kama M'Kaimus says against the Rimigash. Taisvus M'Choris and Taisvus Yesh Nechel and Taisvus all over the place. They say we carry over both forms of roi, carry over from Bchor, Eina Bchor Notel Boroi Kiba Muchzok, both Nichsi Davu Adabo and Halvor, both of them carry over to the din of Eina Bal Yerush Esishta Beroi. And the Rimagash disagrees. So the Rimagash was outvoted, so we don't pass them like the Rimagash. Shaila is, what if the Bal Chovis came to the husband and they gave him the money? So now the husband is Muchzok. So if the husband is muchzak, does he have the right to say kimli kishita sayochid? Whenever there's a machlokes in poskim about something and someone is a muchzak, so that's one of the klolim. Whenever there's a machlokes, we often say ela li'eda divi likim chayim, and this has relevance la'alocha. One of the nafkaminas is that if a person is muchzak on the money, he can say I hold like the shita sri megash, even though we don't pass him like that, like halacha de ramekel ba'oval. is based on Elu Yele Dibri Lekim Chaim. So this is also based on Elu Yele Dibri Lekim Chaim. The Rimagash maybe has not been completely rejected. So the Beishmuel has a klal that you only have a right to say Kimli Kishitas HaYochid. If you're the Muchzot, if it's a minority opinion, but it leads to a significant minority opinion, let's say it's 99 Rishonim say one way, and one Rishon says the reverse. So that you ignore totally. So here it should be relevant that the Rambam, the Magen Mishneh, discusses, does the Rambam agree with the Rimagash, or does he disagree with it? If the Rambam agrees with the Rimagash, then you have two Rishonim to say like this. Then he should be able to say Kimli. If the Rambam does not agree with the Rimagash stands alone, then you only have the Rimagash. He shouldn't be able to say Kimli. But the Beis Shmuel writes in Ebenezer, wrong. He says the Rambam is so kofuf to the Rimagash. There's a famous line where the Rambam writes about the Rimagash, Sichlo Mavis b'chol ha'talmud. He was a super genius. And he was so taken by him, he considered himself a Talmud. It was a little boy, he got a bracha from the Rimagash. Rambam's father, Rabbi Naima, learned by the Rimagash, and he once took his son for a bracha, and he attributed his success in learning, the Rambam's success, he attributed to the Rimagash's bracha. So he viewed the Rimagash as his Rebbe. He says he was a super genius. So he disagrees with the Rimagash every so often, but very rarely. So that's what the Beis Shmuel writes in Ebenezer. He says, even if the Rambam does agree with the Rimagash, it doesn't count as two shitas, it counts as a shita yichidor, and you can't say Kimli. Because the Rambam is so kofif to the Rimagash. Yeah. What would be the din of money in a bank account? I remember years ago, the first time I visited Eretz Yisrael, I was married for a while, we didn't have any children, so we decided to visit Eretz. So it was the first time I ever visited Eretz Yisrael. It was the year after the Mechemet Sheshet Hayamim. When was that? 68 in the summertime. So there was a Din Torah going on in the Bezna in Tel Aviv. The big Bati Dinim used to be in Tel Aviv. So there was a big Din Torah, I think. Rav Unterman at that time was the chief rabbi, and his first wife had passed away, and he married the almana of Rav Shlomo Hyman. Shlomo Hyman used to be a Magid Shir in Torah Vedas, maybe Rosh Hashiv in Torah Vedas. And then the almana was a wealthy woman. I don't know exactly how come. I don't think it was from Torah Vedas. It must mean she had real estate or something. For some reason she was independently wealthy, and her second marriage was Rav Unterman. The people who didn't go for the Rabbanut used to make fun in Yiddish. They used to say she used to be married to high man, a very important man. They actually married an Unterman, alo, because he was a Mizrahi, he was the chief rabbi. So they looked down upon him. Anyway, so she passed away and she had fortunes of money in savings accounts. So the Shaila was, whether Habal Yorish is Ishtoi, so her, I don't think she had any children in the first marriage. I think she had brothers. I'm not sure. So there was a Din Torah in the Bezna to one of the Bote Dinim in Tel Aviv. It was a big Din Torah at that time, whether the husband Yarshins the wife, because Enabal Yarshins Ishtai, we Paskin Halva, he doesn't get. But that's the shadow, the money in the bank account. Is the money in the bank account considered Ra'oi, like the Nadi Behuda? Nadi Behuda says, every Halva is Ra'oi, even if it's federally insured. Or do you say, no, in the bank account? Could it even be an American bank account? So, federally insured by the American government is better than the federally insured by the Israeli government. So there was a whole time I remember at that time. So this is a serious issue, and nafkamina for millions of dollars. Okay. So, strictly speaking, the halacha is that the wife does not yarshin the husband. You live in America, we have a role, dina de malchusa dina. So we should follow the dina de malchusa. So the poskim say, dina de malchusa dina does not apply whenever all the parties involved are Jewish. Dina Machus Adina only applies at least when one of the parties involved is a non-Jew, then we apply Dina Machus. There's another reason perhaps why Dina Machus shouldn't apply. The Rambam has an interesting comment. There's a Mishnah in Perek Yesh Neuchlin that if the man wants to change the rules of Yerusha, so it says he can't change the Hilchas Yerusha. He can't say that he wants the daughters to get an equal share with the sons because Masna Masha Kasmatara, the Tanai is bottle. So the question is, but Badovisha Mamman, the Tanai is Kayim. So the Rambam writes, we don't have this in the Gemara, we don't know where the Ram got it from. The Rambam writes, it's based on a drasha on a Pasuk. So Zas Lahem Luchukas Mishpat is the introductory Pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Yerusha, after the story with the Menai Salafchad appears. So the pasuk says chukas mishpat. Mishpat means dinim amenis, and chuka means like zos chukas atayra, isa beheter. So even though we're talking about dollars and cents, mishpat, the Torah considers it chuka. So we treat Yerusha as if it were isa beheter, and therefore masa mashkas v'atara tenai bottle. So there are two reasons, perhaps, why dina de machusa dina would not apply with respect to Yerusha. There was a Talmud Chacham who lived in Tzfat in the days of the Beis Yosef. He was a young Talmud Chacham at that time. After the Beis Yosef died, he became more famous. He became Marit Tzahalon, Rabbi Yontif Tzahalon. He's known as the Maritatz. You look at Acharon, there are two people who are called Maritatz. One was Rabbi Yosef Taitatzak, who was the rabbi in Constantinople, both Svardish names. One was Maritatz, Rabbi Yosef Taitatzak, who was in Constantinople. That was someone else around the same time. And then there was the Marit Tzahalo, Maritatz, who was a young Talmud Chochem in Tzfat. After the Beis Yosef passed away, one of his sons, who was married, died, and the wife needed either Yibum or Chalitza. So by the Spartan, they still practiced Yibum. Then in Spartan, till recent years, also still practiced Yibum. So the other brother, the other son of Rabbi Yosef Kara, wanted to do Yibum, but he was already married, so he was going to take the Yibum as a second wife. And the girl's father, the girl was the sister of Rab Chaim Vital. Her name was Simcha Vital. So the father of the girl said she shouldn't agree to do Yibum because he's not going to treat her nicely. He's going to treat her as a second fiddle. The first wife was the one he picked, and this one is just the imama, so he said, insist that you want chalit. So it was a stalemate. So the son of Rabbi Yosef Kara, the surviving son, insisted he wants to do Yibum to take her as a second wife, and she insisted she only wants chalit. So it was a whole machlekes that was going on. And Marit Tzahalon became famous because he paskin against the Rav in Tzfat. The Rav in Tzfat told her what to do. Marit Tzahalon said that it was all wrong, and then they all agreed with him. So he was a famous poysek at that time. So when he was young, he writes in his Chuvas, when he was younger, he was sent as a shliach by the Rabbanim in Tzfat. At that time, most of the Jewish community in Eretz lived in Tzfat. Hardly anybody lived in Yerushalayim. So most of the Rabbanim, most of the Balbatim lived in Tzfat. So he was sent as a shliach by the Rabbanim to visit the Arab countries neighboring Eretz Yisrael to tell them that they cannot rely on the din and the malchusa as far as Hilchos Yerusha is concerned, that the daughters and the sons get equal share, or the wife should yarshen the husband. He writes in his Trubis that the Dina Machusa Dina doesn't apply in Yerusha because all the parties involved are Jewish. I gave another reason why maybe you should treat Yerusha as Isa Veheter. The Rambam says Yerusha is treated as Isa Veheter, and Isa Veheter Dina Machusa doesn't apply. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik told over once. That he was very upset why the Reform were permitting women to remarry without a get. So he used to go back and forth. He used to shuttle back and forth between New York and Boston. So on a plane once, he saw a Reform rabbi. So he walked over to him and he said, how do you permit the women to remarry without a get? So he says, Dr. Soloveitchik, I'm surprised at you. You don't know that we had a convention in 1934, whatever, and we decided that that you don't need a get. So what do you mean? How can you make a convention? It's against the din and the Torah. So the Reform rabbi said, Dr. Soloveitchik, I'm surprised. You don't know the Talmudic principle, that din and the Malchus Adina. We follow the law of the land. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, din and Malchus Adina doesn't apply. Why do you miss out a kiddushin? Why don't you let them get married by the justice of the peace? Dr. Soloveitchik, I'm surprised at you. When you have a marriage, you say a bracha. So that's a mitzvah. So you don't apply din and Malchus Adina to a mitzvah. When you give a get, you don't recite any bracha. So that's a law. So Dina Machus Adina applies. So in principle, the distinction is correct. Dina Machus Adina doesn't apply to mitzvah satira. But not a chilek between a mitzvah says and a mitzvah slay says. Dina Machus Adina only applies in Dina Mamas, doesn't apply in Isa Veheta. So again, it's Isa Veheta. It's not Dina Mamas. So Dina Machus Adina doesn't apply in Isa Veheta. So it could well be, there's such a thesis in Ksubis also like that, could well be that Yerusha is treated like Isa Veheta and Dina Machus Adina shouldn't apply. But Bar Medina, aside from that, Dina Machlusa doesn't apply, as the Marit Salon writes, because all of the parties involved are Jewish. So Dina Machlusa doesn't apply. So let's say a normal person is married, is living with his wife, I'm almost married 50 years, and when I die, all of my children are married, they're all taken care of, I want all of Yerusha to go to my wife, but she only gets the Ksuba. So how do I see to it that she should get everything? So if you have everything is written, all the bank accounts are written on the name of the husband and the wife, so it's going to get it anyway. But let's say if there's anything only written on my name, how do I see to it that everything goes to my wife? Usually people want the Yerusha to go to their wives, not to the children. So you have to make a hischaivus. So you judge how long do I think I'm going to live, and how much money do I think I'm not going to have more than $20 million for sure. I'm not going to have more than $20 million when I die. So I obligate myself to give my wife $20 million. So when I die, she collects everything because I owe her the money. Fine, the children, all the nine children get the, I have nine children, all the nine children get the Yerusha, but they have to pay the $20 million debt, and I'm not going to have $20 million, so she'll collect everything. Thing is, what do you mean? I'm going to give it $20 million, so she'll walk off with the money, and she'll disappear, she'll move to Eretz Yisrael, she'll go away. So I don't want to give her the money now. I obligate myself to give her $20 million, only the obligation should only take place after I die. So you can't make a kinyan lachamisa. You can't make a kinyan suder lachazman either. Most of the Rishonim hold that a kinyan suder, kinyan chalipin, has to take effect immediately. You can make a kinyan shtar, harayat mekudeshes li lachalamad yom. By kesef, you can postpone the chalos. By shtar, you can postpone the chalos. Let's say I gave the get to my wife, I write harayat mekudeshes li, and I say lachalamad yom. And the Mishnah says if she still has the get, so the get takes effect at that time. If she lost the get, or it's burnt, or this ripped, so then the get is not chal. That's called kol sekinyona. So most of the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. The Rambam is beferish that you can make a kinyan chalipin lach alamed yom also lach hazman. And the Ran disagrees. The Ran and the Dorim disagrees with that Rambam. And the Kesem Mishnah, Perek Aleph, and the Chos Mechira has a long, gigantic Kesem Mishnah to talk about the Rambam. So usually some chalipin cannot take effect lach alamin, lach hazman, has to take effect right away. So when the lawyer makes the kinyonim, or the wife makes the kinyonim, usually the lawyer makes the kinyonim on behalf of the wife based on the principle of zochen liyadam shleib b'fano. So the lawyer has to be a Jewish lawyer. So the lawyer, the din is b'kelev shalkeina. So the wife wants to acquire a hischaivus of $20 million. I don't think I'll have more than 20 million. If I have more than $20 million, I'll let it go to my nine children. Okay. Whatever's in excess, my wife doesn't need more than $20 million to live after I die. So if I want to be mischaive myself to $20 million to my wife, the lawyer gives me a handkerchief, Jewish lawyer gives me, as representing the wife, that's called zochen liyadam shleib b'fanav. She stands to gain a lot of money, she stands to lose nothing by this. If she doesn't want the money, she can only say, no, thank you, I don't want the $20 million. Whenever you do an act of zochen on behalf of someone else, when the person finds out about it, he can always undo it. He says, I don't want it. No, thank you. So the lawyer will give the handkerchief on behalf of the wife, and he'll be kind of the hischaibis for the wife. And then she gets the whole Yerusha. But I don't want her to be able to clean me out now. I only want her to be able to take it after I die. So that's what the Ramos says. You make the kinyan chalutpin now, kinyan suda now. The hischaibis to the wife is chal immediately now. But it's not discussive gviya. She only has a right to collect it. So if I say after I die, so that's an issue of enkin alahamisa. So we assume that wouldn't work. She has to have the right to collect it while I'm alive, but I don't want her to be able to collect it while I'm alive. I'm afraid she's going to take the money and skedaddle. So I say she only has a right exclusive gviya the day before I die. Shach is koyde misosi. So that should really be an issue of aim brera. The Gemara says, let's say a man is married, he has no children, and his wife is good. When he's going to die, he knows he's going to die first. He's sick and he's going to die. He's going to die, his wife is going to need chalitz, and the brother-in-law is a rasha. Brother-in-law is a mamza, and he's going to give the woman a hard time with the chalitz. So the husband loves his wife, so he gives her a get, so she shouldn't need chalitz. He gives her a get, so she can, and she's helping him. She's taking care of him. He's on a deathbed. He's taking care of him. So if he gives her a get right now, then there's an issa yichud, so she can't stay in the house. She can't be mishamishim. She wants to remain married with him until the day that he dies. So he can't give a get. Harei zegitach lacha mosi. Ein get lacha misas. He has to give the get that it should be chal. Shoachas kaidim misas. Harei zegitach, the get should take effect 10 minutes before I die. So in the last 10 minutes, there won't be an issa yichud. There will be other people around when he's about to die. There won't be an issa yichud. So the Gemara says that's not acceptable because ein brera. Since you don't know when the chalois hagerishin is, it's in a mavurah. It'll only become mavurah later, retroactively. You don't know when 10 minutes before he dies is. Until after he dies, then you look back in retrospect, 10 minutes ago, the get was chal. But at the time the get is being chal, you don't know when it is. So the Gemara says that's an example of breire. That's a machlekes hatana. We passed with respect to dinam deraisa, ain't breire. It's not going to be chal. So there's a gigantic ran in a dorm. The ran and a dorm took over the whole mesichta. When you learn the dorm, you don't have to read the Gemara. You don't have to read Rashi. Rashi is not by Rashi. You just read the Ran. The Ran has everything. He has the Gemara, the Rashi, the Taisus, the Rambam, the Ramban. Has everything. People just read the Ran. So the Ran took over on the Dorm. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. He never wanted to give Shir on the Dorm. He said the Ran was a Rosh Yeshiva, and he took care of everything. He didn't leave anything. Didn't leave any room to anybody to say anything. Approximately. Okay. So there's a long Ran at the beginning of Perek HaShutfim in the Dorm, where the Ran talks about Breira, how do we paskin? So the Ran says the only time you say Ein Breira, if that's on the Iker aspect of the Chalois, like one of the Iker aspects of the Chalois. Like I say, I'm writing, I can't afford to be married to two wives. I have two wives that have the same name. I can't afford two wives, I'm going to divorce one of them, but at the time I tell the Sofer, write to get, I didn't decide yet which of the two wives I'm going to divorce. So tell the Sofer, ksav get le ishti le eze she'erza agar shenu. I'll decide later which one. So the get has to be written lishmo now, when the Sofer writes the lishmo. I'm going to decide later what the lishmo was. So that's called the embrayer, because at the time of ksivus haget, it wasn't yet mavur. And that's a crucial aspect of the get. For whom was the get written? So the Gemara considers this also a crucial aspect. When is the get chal? The get is chal 10 minutes before I die. That'll only be known later. When was 10 minutes before I die? Has to be known at the time the get is taking effect. So the Ran says, but what if it's a less significant, everything is significant, what if it's a less significant aspect of the chalais, like over here? The chiyuv to give my wife the $20 million takes effect right away. The lawyer, the Jewish lawyer, gives me the handkerchief, he makes the kinyutzur on behalf of my wife. I create the obligation, le'achshov, I owe the money right away, but the zchus gvir should only begin later. If I say this chus gevir should only take effect the day before I die, so that's a less significant. You can't say it's insignificant. When they have a right to collect, it's significant, but it's not the main aspect of the kinyan. So that the Ran says, the Ran is not talking about this case, he's talking about a different case. So the Ramah in Reish Pei Beis, in the end of Hilchos Nachlis, the end of Chayshim Mishpat, paskins along the lines of that Ran, that if it's a less significant aspect of the chalos, namely, when does Chus HaGviyah begin? On that you can say Yesh Breira. So that you can solve that problem. The husband wants his wife to Yarshin. Husband thinks he may die first, and he doesn't want the children to get the Yerusha. They may not want to support the mother. The children are not always so kind to their parents. May not want to support the mother. The father can say, while the father was alive, the father can say, look here, Kibarav. Kibarav applies even after the father dies. He says, look, this is all my money. I want you to make sure that you give all the money to your mother. So then mitam kibarav, the children are mechayev to listen to the father. The question is, not always do the children fulfill the mitzvah of kibarav. And even if you have a Jewish religious government running the country of Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says that Bezdin is not kaif on kibarav yeh. The Gemara says in the beginning of Kol HaBasar, the kibbut aviyem is a mitzvah says that shemat and schar b'tzida sein bezu shalmatam mizor malah. So if the children don't want to observe kibbut av, the bezin is not going to force them, and the secular courts for sure are not going to force them to fulfill kibbut av. So it's not a smart thing just to rely on kibbut av. We have a lot of times people before they die left the instructions, after I die, this goes to this one, this goes to that one, and it's a lot of money involved. So across the board, by chassidim, by misnagdim, by the most religious people, they will not listen to what the parents said, because a lot of money is about. Rabbi Kiveger has a tshuva about this. He says, we paskin l'alocha, the kibbut av is mishalav, lo mishal bein. Let's say my father says he'd like to go visit Eretz Yisrael, and he'd like me to help him. I should make the arrangements. I said, okay, Dad, give me your credit card, and I'll call the hotel, and I'll call the airline, and I'll make all the arrangements. I'll call the taxi. Father says, no, your credit card. You have a mitzvah, kibbut av. So the Gemara says, Shaila, is kibbut av mishal bein? Is it some chayv to spend money? You say, no, kibbut av is mishal av. So if the father doesn't have money, it's a different story, what the din is. But if the father does have money, he has his own credit card, so the son is not chayv to spend money from his pocket to fulfill kibbut av. Son is chayv to make the arrangements. I say, Dad, give me your credit card, and I'll make all the arrangements. I'll buy you the ticket with your credit card, and I'll get a taxi, and I'll get your luggage, and I'll get your hotel, the reservations, and everything. I'll do the tircha, but it has to be your money. So we paskin kibbut avitz mishalav, the law mishal bein. The children are not mechayiv to spend money. So here the shaila was, the father leaves instructions, kibbut av. When I die, I want you to give all the money to your mother. Then the father dies. Then the money belongs to the children. So is that kibbut av mishal bein? The children are not mechayiv to spend money, their money. Rabbi Kavega says, no, that's kibbut av mishalav. The money belonged to the father. While the father was alive, that was his money. He's not asking the children to spend from their own pocket. He's telling them, the money that I'm leaving you, Birusha, I want you to give that money to your mother. So Rabbi Kavega writes in the Tshuva that, strictly speaking, the children are mechayiv mitam kibbut av to listen to the instructions that the father gave. But the Beis Din is not going to enforce it, and the secular courts for sure are not going to enforce the mitzvah kibbut av. So it's a wise thing, not just to rely. If you know all the children are living in peace and harmony together is one thing, but children don't always live, unfortunately. They don't always live in peace and harmony. And if there's a lot of money involved, even if it's not so much money involved, they can kill each other over $10. It's always better to make sure that you made a will that's binding. So does the Torah... We know all the laws of Yerusha. My uncle died and we divided the Yerusha. We know all the laws of Yerusha. Does an individual who has assets have the right to make a tzavua to change the laws of Yerusha? Can I make a tzavua to say I want my sons and the daughters to get equal Yerusha? So there's a Mishnah in Bava Basra, and Daf Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph, when the Mishnah calls Rabbi Yechonah ben Breika, who comments on the pasuk, "V'hoy b'yam anchila zban of Eis Hashia lo, v'yochel avakas benu ha'huva al penei ben asnua ha'pchor." So what does the pasuk say? He comments on the pasuk, "V'hoy b'yam anchila zban of Eis Hashia lo." When the father is about to give over the Yerusha to his children, what do you mean the father is about to give over Yerusha? The father drops dead, Malach HaMavis takes his life. And the Yerusha goes by itself. He doesn't give over the Yerusha. He dies. He dies. And then mainly the Yerusha goes. So you see from the Pasuk, Rabbi Yechonah ben Breika says, quoted by the Mishnah, the Gemara says, we pass like that. Torah nasna reshus la'av lahan chalachom mishayirtz. Torah gives the man the right, it's his money. Torah gives him the right to alter the laws of Yerusha. To what extent? So the Mishnah says, he can't say, I want the sons and the daughters to yarshan equally. The daughters are not in line to get anything. So he can't change the tilchus Yerusha. Let's say from my 9 children, 3 are boys. So each one of the 3 boys, I'm not going to have $20 million, I'm going to have $19 million when I die. So the $19 million, strictly speaking, my oldest child is a daughter. So my oldest boy is not the Bchor. So strictly speaking, each one of them gets 33% of the Yerusha. Each one should get 1/3 of the Yerusha. One of my sons is in business. He's doing very well. And the other two are sitting and learning. So I should say, I don't want to cut him out completely, that's not nice. I'll say, my son who's in business should get 20%. He doesn't need so much for my $19 million. And the other two sons should divide the 80%, 40%, 40%, and he should get 20%. So each one of the sons is in line to get something. Each one is in line to get 1/3. So since each one is in line to get something, so I can alter the numbers. I can say, I want him to get 40%, he should get 40%, he should get 20%. That you can do. If I say in the negative, I say the son who's rich shouldn't get a penny. If I say in the negative, it doesn't take effect. If I say in the positive, this son and that son should each get 50%. So the Mela, the third son, is left with nothing. The Mishnah says, if you say it in the positive, that's okay. That's included in the positive. V'yom hanchil azbanav, atorot nasna reshus lav lahanchil. He's saying in the positive. But if you say in the negative, it's not. The question, how do you exactly understand this? It boils down to be the same thing. So Rav Shach has a piece in his Sefer. On the Rambam, he talks about that. But that's what it says in the Mishnah. So let's say he has sons and daughters. I have 6 daughters and 3 sons. So I say, I want all the 9 children to get equally. The daughters are not in line to get a penny. So that's not included in the din of Rabbi Yechonah ben Breika. That's not covered with the din. Even the 3 sons that I have, let's say I wouldn't have the 6 daughters. They only have the 3 sons. And I'm going to say, this son should get 40%, he should get 40%, he should get 20%. When am I saying this? When am I saying this? I'm alive and healthy now when I'm saying it. The Achrenim have this idea that you should make out a will when you reach the age of 50. Shouldn't wait till it's too late. Make out a will. They say on Asmachta, on the Pasuk, B'shnas ha-yavel azos toshuvu isha lachuzasa. When it comes Shnas ha-yavel, there's a stay mikneh, I sold the field to someone else, So he has to give it back to me when it comes Shnas Ayo, Yom Kippur Shel Yoivo. It reverts back to become a Stei Achuza. So that's the Pashup Shab, Shnas Ayo Ve'el Ozas, Toshuvu, Isha Lachuz Asai. I get back the field that I sold to the other fellow, and it becomes back a Stei Achuza, as opposed to now it's only a Stei Miklim. So that's the Pshutu Shon Miklim. So the Achreidim have a Melitza, Shnas Ayo Ve'el Ozas, when a person reaches the age of 50, he should consider the fact, Toshuvu, Isha Lachuz Asai, that you're going to return to your Maker, you're going to die, and you should think about death, and you should make a tzavua. A daughter-in-law of Rabbi Gifter told me she remembers when Daddy had his 50th birthday, when Rabbi Gifter was 50 years old, so they had a birthday party for the children were there, the family was there, and then Rabbi Gifter said that he made out a tzavua. So they thought he was so morose, what's he making a tzavua? He's only 50 years old, he was healthy at that time. So after he passed away, many years later, he left in his tzavoy, he left in his will, any shal and hilchas avelis, they should follow what it says in the Sefer Chaim Avroch and the Mishmer Shalom. Chaim Avroch and Mishmer Shalom is a Sefer and hilchas avelis that was printed about 100 years ago by the author of the Mishmer Shalom. Mishmer Shalom is a chibur on the Prima Godim on Yeridea. Prima Godim is a chibur on the Taz and the Shach. So the Prima Godim, a lot of people don't look in the Prima Godim today. So if you don't look in Prima Godim, you're not going to look in the Mishmer Shalom. So the same author, he was a big paisik. So the author of the Mishmer Shalom wrote a sefer, Chaim Aruch on the Mishmer Shalom, on Hilchas Avelus and Hilchas Dalad Minim. He has all of Hilchas Avelus, all of two different swarm. All the halachas arranged in an alphabetical order. He quotes every rishon and every achron that he had that was available 100 years ago, in the early 1900s. And he quotes Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, and he quotes the Or Samech, and he quotes the Maharsham. He quotes a lot of the poskim. So Rabbi Gifter left in his tavor any shailah hilchas avelus. They should follow what it says. The sefer Chaim Aruch and the Mishmer Shalom. When you look in that sefer Chaim Aruch under the letter tzaddik, it's alphabetically arranged under tzavoy. So he quotes this from the early Rachmanim that when a person reaches the age of 50, he should make out a will because toshuvu yishalach lizasai. They were just following the instructions that it said in that sefer. So that's a question. Rabbi Yechon Mabreikas didn't. Torah nostam rishus la'ab lahanchel l'chol mishiyitzah. The Torah gave the father a right to change the percentages. I can say 40%, 40%, and 20%. Maybe that's only when I'm a shchid meira, when I'm about to die. If I'm only 50 years old, I'm not sick at all. Maybe Rabbi Yechman Breker's principle doesn't apply. We know we have a din de rabbanon. The divi shchid meira kiksu v'mechim surandomi. If a person is sick in bed, he doesn't have to be holding by the end. If a person is sick in bed, that's called Shchid Meira. If a person is walking around, that's not called the Shchid Meira. If a person is sick in bed, that's called the Shchid Meira. So if he says, in the event, in case I die, I want the business to go to this son, and I want the furniture to go to this neighbor, and so he gives instructions, and then he dies from that sickness, so that's a takana with the Rabbanadivir, Shchid Meira Kiksuv, and Mechim Surandomi. Why? Why they make such a takana? Because they're afraid. He may get so aggravated, he's afraid he's going to die. He may get so aggravated, he doesn't have a chance to make a kinyan with the person. That may hasten his death. So we tell him, don't worry, whatever you say will be taken care of. The kinyan takes effect in the Rabbanan. But Dibre Shchid Meira Kiksuv Mechim Surandomi is an invention with the Rabbanan. It doesn't exist on the level of the Raisa. Is there a concept in Halacha? We usually say, called the Tikkun Rabbanan came the Raisa Tikkun. All the Dinim der Rabbanan, that pattern after the Dinim der Raisa. There are several dinim deraisa where goses plays a role. Goses means, the Rambam writes in Aholos, in Pirush HaMishnah is in Aholos, in Perkal, goses means one in whom the process of death has already begun. So the Rambam writes that death is a process, tahalich. The Rambam wrote it in Arabic, but the Hebrew translation says that death is a process. Not that now the guy's alive and a second later he's dead. There's a process of death. So you have to know when it begins and when it ends. That's it. When does it end? The big machlekes, brain death. When is the patient considered dead? So depending on what's considered the end of the process, that'll determine what's considered the beginning of the process. Whenever the process begins, that's called a goses. So you have several dinim, less than five, I think, very few dinim, several dinim that depend on goses. Goses and Shchid Meira are not the same thing. Goses is a halachic principle. Is a concept that exists on the level of the Raisa. There are dinim that depend on goses. Question is, Divrei Shchid Meira Kiksuv Mechim Surandomi was a takona de rabbanon. Usually, called the tikkun rabbanon came the Raisa tikkun. The dinim de rabbanon, or pattern after dinim de Raisa, using building blocks that exist on the level of the Raisa. So that's a question. The Tanoim who made this din, Dibesh Shchimera, did they know that there exists a din on the level of the Raisa that depends on Shchimera? Is there any halacha? The only possible halacha is this one, this halacha, that Rabbi Yechon Meberkes halacha, that the father has a right to make a tzavua to alter the percentages. Instead of 33, 33, 33, want to give 40%, 40%, and 20%. 45, 45, and 10%, whatever it is. So the Gemara has an Ibai Dolev Shita. Does that din of Rabbi Yechon Meberkes apply even when he's 50 years old in a good condition, he's healthy, he's walking around? Maybe it only applies when he's a Shechid Meira. So Misofik, we paskin, Hamoitza Mechavera, all of Haraya. If I die with no Tzavoa, all the Yorshim Hamuchs are 33%. Even though they don't have the hands on the money, a Yorish always considered a Muchsik. That's Mishnais in the end of Baba Basra. So the Shaila is here, Hamoitza Mechavera, all of Haraya. My three sons are all Muchzokim on 33%. And there's a Sveik in the Dina, whether Rabbi Yechon Meberkes' Dina of Tzavoa can apply when I'm not yet a Shechid Meira. So we say, Misofik, he can't be Moitzi the Mammon from the Muchzok. So the son, whom I wanted only to give 20% and 10% to, because he's doing very well in business, it's a Sveik of the Dina whether he has a right to take away, whether the other brothers have a right to take away from him, from his 33%. So in Shulchan Aruch, we pass on Halacha L'maisa, that Din, of Rabbi Yechon Meberkes, HaTorah Nasna Rishus, Lav, L'Hancha, L'Chol Mishe Yirtzeh, only applies when the fellow is a Shechid Meira. If he's 50 years old and he makes out a tzavua, that din daraisa does not apply. So how can a man see to it that the Yerusha should be, he wants to give 40%, 40%, and 20%. So if he's just going to leave it up to Kibbut Aviyim, the 20% someone says, I don't want to be Mekayim Kibbut Aviyim. Do me something. You can't force me. You're not Kayif on Kibbut Aviyim. And you can't say, Deve Shechid Meira, the father didn't say it when he was a Shechid Meira. And the Din of Tzavua doesn't apply. We pass on Allah, the Din of Tzavua doesn't apply till he's holding by the end, till he's Mamash a Shechid Meira. So how can you arrange for such a Yerusha? Or if you want to give the daughters an equal share to the son, so that the daughters are not included in Rabbi Yechon Meberkes' Din. So how can you arrange for that? So there is another club, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ameis. That's a Din Medirabon, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ameis. So Taisus in Gitna, Daf Yud Gimel, has a lot of kashas. Taisus in Baba Basra has the same Taisus, three times as long. They have a lot of kashas all over the place. There are Gemaras that you don't say mitzvah. When do you say mitzvah? L'kam Devar? It doesn't always apply. So we pass in La Halacha, one of the answers that Taisus gives is quoted in the Chosh Mishpat. Mitzvah L'kam Devar Ameis only applies if it's hushlash metchila l'kach. If I gave over the money during my lifetime, I gave it over to someone else, to a sholish, to a third party, I said that after I die, give this money to this son. So if let's say I would put all the $19 million that I do have, I don't have the $20 million, the $19 million that I do have, I'll put it in trust accounts. So I'll put 40% of my $19 million into one trust account for this son, and 40% in another trust account, and 20% in a third trust account for the children. So the bank is holding it on behalf of the children. So even if it's a revocable trust account, it's still, that's called Hushlash Mentchila L'kach. If I would give over $1 million to someone during my lifetime, I say, give it to Pliny. After I die, give it to the next neighbor. Give it to the rabbi in the shul. I like him very much. That would be Mitzvah L'kayim Divrei Ameis. Even though I could have changed my mind, because man, I'm alive, I can say, give me back the money, I changed my mind. So if I put the money in a bank account, in a trust account on behalf of these different children, that's called hushlash mentchila l'kach, even though all the trust accounts are, these trust accounts that I made, are revocable. Still, that would be hushlash, yeah. But what if the person didn't do that? What if the person, during his lifetime, didn't put the money away in a trust account on behalf of all the sons and the daughters, on behalf of everybody? So what can he do? So what we do is the same as we said before. If you want the whole Yerusha to go to your wife, so how can you arrange that? So when I die, I don't think I'll have $20 million in assets. The lawyer gives me a handkerchief, a suitor, on behalf of my wife, using the principle of Zochen Le'onim Shleim Lefanon, and I obligate myself to give my wife $20 million, may achshav, collectible the day before I die. So after I die, she was entitled to collect the money yesterday. and whatever money I'm going to have, she's going to take all the money from the Yorshim in order to collect the chayv that are obligated. So the same is by the sons and the daughters. So the fellow makes the kinyonim with his lawyer. So the lawyer gives him a handkerchief, and he says, in the event that you die before your wife, so you want to be mishabed yourself, that you owe $20 million to your wife, so the mailer should clean up the whole Yerushim. And then he says, and in the event that the wife dies before you, so the husband yarshins the wife according to Allah and according to secular law, the husband yarshins the wife. So then the husband says, if my wife predeceases me and I want all the money to go to my 9 children, I want the daughters to get the same as the sons. So it's simple. He should obligate himself. He doesn't think he's going to have $20 million when he dies, and he has 9 children, so let him obligate himself to give $3 million to each one of the 9 children. 9, 18, 27. So when he dies, he's not going to have $27 million. So whatever he's going to have, the $19 million that he's going to have, so they'll have to divide it equally in 3 shares. They get the Yerusha, the 3 sons get the Yerusha, the daughters get nothing, the Torah's Yerusha. But then, now the 3 sons have got the $19 million of Yerusha, they have to pay up the Chayvus. And each child is entitled to get $3 million. I don't have $27 million. So the Mishnayos and Ksubas say, you divide equally. If 9 children, each one is entitled to $3 million, and you only have $19 million, so you divide everything in 9 shares. So that's the way you do it. The thing is that in civil law, I think the Din of the Machusa doesn't recognize the Hischaivus, that's not in exchange for something. I'm just out of the clear blue sky, I accept upon myself a Hischaivus to give each one of my 9 children $3 million. I didn't buy any merchandise from them, no services rendered, they didn't do anything. Al-pi aloche, there is such a thing. That's the first thesis in Afalpi, that a husband can obligate himself to give his wife an amount of money, even though he's penniless, even though he has nothing. He can create a hischaivus yesh me'ayin. So according to secular law, all the children get the Yerusha equally anyway, because they follow the Christian law, bein abas yoshim ka'achas. And according to the Jewish law, the children divided all equally because I made a hischaivus. The only thing is that it doesn't correspond because according to Jewish law, they're collecting it as a matana. And a matana is taxable. And according to the secular law, it's not as a matana. According to the secular law, it's as Yerusha. And as Yerusha, a certain amount of Yerusha, the Yerusha is not taxable. So that's an issue. Okay, that's an issue. We're making all of these kinyonim according to the secular law, Din of the Machus, all the children get Bateris Yerusha. So according to Din of the Machus, they don't have to pay any tax on Yerusha. There's sometimes inheritance tax, okay. But but we don't recognize the secular law. So are we really cheating the government out of the tax money? Because we hold that it's not Bateris Yerusha. We hold Bateris Matana. The matana should be taxable. So that's an issue. Are we really cheating the government or not? Ramosha, that's the way it's been assumed for many years, that if the father wants the sons and the daughters to get an equal portion, or he wants to do the way they did years ago, after they give a shtar chatzi zachar, as I said, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman is quoted as having recommended you should give equal share. You shouldn't give a chatzi zachar. You should give the daughters equal share. I know a Talmid Chacham who passed away, at a ripe old age, and he made a shtar chatzi zachar. He had 4 daughters and 1 son. Had 4 daughters and 1 son. And he gave all the 4 daughters a chatzi zachar. All 4 together got a chatzi zachar. So the daughters never forgave him. He died years ago. The daughters never forgave him. He wasn't thinking. It doesn't mean you give all the daughters. Get all the daughters together, get a chatzi zachar. Each one gets a chatzi zachar. It means the son should get twice as much as any one of the daughters. But the daughters got 1/8 of what the son got. They're only worth 1/8 of the son. They're at least worth 1/2 of the son. So that's what Shlomo Zalman is quoted as having said, that in our generation it's better to give an equal share to the sons and the daughters. So when you make the kinyonim with the lawyer, so the pashtus is, a Jewish lawyer gives a suitor, and based on the principle of Zachon Adam Shlomo Fano, you don't have to tell the children about it, you don't have to tell the wife about it. And they make these kinyonim in the event that the husband predeceases the wife, so he wants to make his chayvus to give the wife the $20 million, collectible the day before he dies. And in the event that the wife dies before him, and then he wants all the children to share equally, so he makes His chayvus, he obligates each one of their nine children, he obligates himself to give each one of the nine children $3 million. Not going to be so much Yerusha to pay, so they'll all divide equally. Now Moshe Feinstein has a fantastic chiddush. It's so fantastic that most disagree with him. He has a tshuva. Often Rav Moshe Feinstein has tacton and the end of another tshuva, he has another paragraph about something else. So this tshuva, which is a bombshell, he puts it tacton to another tshuva in Ebenezer somewhere, and it's unbelievable, chiddush niflo. He says two chiddushim. Yes. Chiddush number one is, it's only necessary to have a ma'ase kinyan when it's not crystal clear 100% that he has das kinyan. What if it's the Rambam writes in Hilchas Mechira, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes, starts off, Ein hamekech niknim bedvar. You can't transfer ownership just by an oral declaration. I say, all the furniture that I have, all the svarim that I have, should go to you. So the Rambam says, you don't acquire ownership just by, I say, the real estate that I have should go to you. Real estate, karka, metatlan, you can't transfer ownership just by making an oral declaration. So the Rashash in Bchayra says, in the Chazanish, in the first page in Chelek Chayish Mishpat, quotes this from his father. Rav Moshe writes on his own the same thing. But if it's very clear that there's a very strong Gemiras Das, absolutely clear that there's a strong Gemiras Das, then the Halacha says that the Kinyan can take effect without any Maisa Kinyan. So the Rashash and the Chazanish and Rav Moshe have Hachachas for Nigmar. So Rav Moshe says, a person makes a secular will. The secular government only honors the will. They won't listen to anything unless there's the last will and testament, unless he fills out a later will that has a later date. But if a person fills out a will, you can stand on your head. The government is not going to recognize anything else. So the guy, people know that a will, only the will be honored by the secular government. So Moshe thinks when you make a will, that's such a strong Gemiras Das, that can make a kinyan, and there's no need for any Maisa Kinyanim. So the lawyer doesn't have to give a handkerchief. You just write in the will. So what do you write in the will? So you, in a secular will, you write, I bequeath. Means I give lachamisa. Bequeath means after I die, the Yerusha should go to Pliny. So Moshe is saying that it works mitam kinyan. It's a kinyan that does need a maisa kinyan. It's such a strong miras das, does need a maisa kinyan. Fine, it's a kinyan, but we have a rule, ain't kinyan lachamisa. So if you say, I bequeath, means I'm giving lachamisa, ain't kinyan lachamisa. So Moshe has chiddush number two. Chiddush number one, the Rashash and the Chazanish have the same rayas, that whenever there's a very strong gemiras das, no need for a maisa kinyan. Chiddush number two, that's the one that everyone disputes. And Moshe says, ain't kinyan lachamisa means like this. I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going on Aliyah in July. I'm not going to be here in August. So I fill out a document, I sell you my house starting from August 1st. And then I drop that in the middle of July. So when I die in the middle of July, the house doesn't belong to me anymore. It goes to my children. My three sons, my daughter, whoever gets, my sons will get the Yerusha. And then you only gain ownership of the house on August 1st. That's what I wrote in the Shtar. I'm selling you the house August 1st. So that's Ein Kinyan LaHamisa. The Kinyan is, it belongs to me and I give it to you. But if there's a gap in between the time that I die and the time that your Kinyan is supposed to take effect, so the Kinyan that I make is not going to help. You have to make a Kinyan with my children. They're the owners. So Moshe says, but that's only by Medvar Mamurim. If there's a gap in between the time that I die and the time that the Kinyan is going to take effect. But if I write, I bequeath, I say, as long as I'm alive, I own my property. The moment that I die, I can no longer own my assets. I want the assets to go to my daughters, to my wife, and whatever. So he says, fine, there was no gap. So there's no, the klal of Ein Kinyan LaHamisa doesn't apply. That's Rav Moshe Chiddush number two. So that's what, there used to be a dayan in London who learned in Radin. He was a Levi. His name is Dayan Label Grosnas. He was friendly with all the Europeans here, with Rabbi Gerelich and Rabbi Bornstein and Rabbi Fishman. All when I was a Talmud in Yeshiva, we had a lot of European Rabbeim here. So they all knew each other from Europe. So this Label Grosnas had learned in Radin. He was a Levi. He used to pour the water on the Chofetz Chaim's hands when he used to duchen. He was proud about that. Proud of the fact that Chavetz Chaim treated him very nicely. Because when he came, he was a yekid. So when he came to learn in Radin, he didn't know anything. And they weren't going to take him in, so he started to cry. So the Chavetz Chaim had rachmanis on him. So he took him in, even though he didn't deserve to be. And then he grew in learning, and then he learned Baruch Ber afterwards. So he has, Dain Grosnas, has the new style of tshuvas. Instead of quoting Marashdams and Mariks and Trumas Adeshins and Knesset Yecheskel and whatever, and Shvutz Yank and Veshev Yank, he quotes Rav Baruch Ber and Rav Chaim and Shimon Shkop, the modern kind of tshuvas. So he has a tshuva where he addresses Rav Moshe's idea. He thinks it's against all the Gemara. He thinks that it's not correct. And King Alachamisa is not only when there's a gap in between his death and the moment that the Kinyan is supposed to take effect. The Kinyan cannot take effect. Alachamisa, several other recent poskim after Moshe also wrote like that they disagree. Here in the packet you have a printout of Dain Grosnes' Chuvas and Lev Aryeh. So that's really problematic. Reb Chaim Oizer published three volumes of tshuvas during his lifetime. Now they print all three in one volume, Achayezer. And after he passed away, somebody in Eretz Yisrael collected additional tshuvas that were written by Reb Chaim Oizer from manuscript. He got the letters and he printed additional volume of Achayezer, collection of additional tshuvas. And one of those additional tshuvas that was not printed during the lifetime of Reb Chaim Oizer. So he raises a possibility. What does it mean, hushlash mitchila lekach? We only apply the rule of mitzvah lekaim divri ameis if he gave the money over to a sholish while he was alive, or he put the money in a trust account. That's also, he gave the money to the bank, that after I die, you should give it to each one of the children. Hushlash mitchila lekach means he secured, you have to literally give it over. He secured it to make sure that it's going to be taken care of. He gave it over in a trust account, or gave it to a shovish. So Reb Chaim Oizer raises the possibility along the lines of what Reb Moshe said. Maybe we should say that since the government will only honor the last will and testament, so maybe that should be, making out a secular will should be the equivalent of hushlash metchila lekach. He raises such a possibility, but he's not sure. He's not sure about that. But then he writes, they have two tshuvas, Reb Chaim Oizer, in the later volume, that he writes in another tshuva. Dain Grosnes quotes all of this in the tshuva in Lev Aryeh. So he, Chaim Oizer raises another possibility. He says, what if the children already went to secular court? The secular court already awarded them the money. So they're muksuk already, let's say. I want all the children to get an equal share. So the secular court distributed all the money equally. And then the sons wake up later on and they said, hey, the father never made the kinyonim. This is not legal. I want my money back. The father just made a secular will. And then he realizes all the Chachmei HaTorah don't accept Rav Moshe's Chiddush, that the secular will is binding because it could, I bequeath constitutes a kinyon, there's no problem with King Lahamis. So what if the children wake up later after the government already divided up all of the assets? Rav Chaim Oizer says, maybe then they're muchzuk. It's like a moitzim achaveh olav harayah. Because he raised the suffix in his mind. Maybe this is called hushlish mitchila lekach. The fact that you have a secular will. So he wasn't sure. So that's oival asiyosim. If they didn't take the assets yet, he's not sure. But if they already awarded them the assets and they have it, they're muchzuk on it. So then he thinks that the b'diyeved, they should be considered muchzuk. They should be able to claim that this is considered hushlish mitchila lekach. And the law of mitzvah lekaim divrei ameis should be binding in this situation. The Gemara has a din in Bava Basim Perek Yesh Nechlen that it's not proper to be mabe nachla. Let's say a son, father doesn't get along with his son. Son is a Torah Kartanik and the father's a Mizrahi. He doesn't get along with his son. Son's religious, but they don't get along. Whatever reason for friction. And the father of the son is going to give the money, going to give all the money away to charity. He's not going to give any money to the son. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. And the lawyer is not allowed to make out such a will, and the witnesses are not allowed to sign such a will. You're not allowed to help such a person do that. The Gemara said there was a Tana, what was his name? Forgot already which Tana. Akabe ben Mahalal. I already forgot which Tana it was. There was a Tana who was upset why his son was not a Tana. The father had so much learning, he could have made his son into a Tana. His son decided to be a nice religious balabas, to be a balabas, not to go into learning. Father was so upset, so he gave all of his money away to the Beis HaMikdash. Yosef ben Yoaz. From the Zugas. Yosef ben Yoaz. And all the Tanoim told him that you're not allowed to do that. You have to leave the Yerusha to the son, and he didn't listen. And then the Gemara says he did wrong. And the son, who the father was upset why the son didn't turn out the way he wanted it to, so the son donated in his little business, the son donated more money to the Beis HaMikdash than the father did. The father was a poor rabbi. Of course the father couldn't give so much money to Hegdash. And the son gave more money to Hegdash. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to be Mav Nachum. So that's the question. What if you make out a will and you're going to give money away to the daughters? So isn't there an issue of being Mav Nachum over here? So let's say a person has, or he's going to leave, or the Gemara says, Yosef ben Yosef gave it all to the Beis HaMikdash. The man wants to give all the money to charity. Also, you're not allowed to do that. So how much money do you have to leave to the children that it shouldn't be? You shouldn't leave anything to charity. So in the Sefer Chaim HaRochel, Mishmer HaSholem, under the letter Tzadik, under Tzavoya, he quotes that is a proper thing, that a person should leave instruction. You should give tzedakah while you're alive, and you should leave instructions that after you die, they should distribute a certain percentage of your assets to tzedakah. And preferable would be if they would distribute the money, make out the checks to the tzedakah before the levayah. Usually you can't do that, but if it's possible, it's even preferable to take care of it before the funeral. V'halach lefanecha tzidkecha, they quote the pasuk. V'halach lefanecha tzidkecha, the tzedakah should precede you. When you go to the Olam HaEmes, when they're going to bury you, so the tzedakah should protect you before they bury you. So that's a proper practice, to leave money to tzedakah is a proper practice. That's a question, why is that binding? If you write in your will, you want to leave money to tzedakah. Is that binding? What if the children challenge it? They say, if the father were to give him while he was alive, one thing, he's telling us to give tzedakah from the Yerusha, so mitam kibirav, he's supposed to give. It's kibirav mishalav, okay, but they don't want to observe kibirav. So they say, we don't want to do kibirav, we want to keep it. Is that legally binding? So Rabbi Chaim Moshe has in the tshuvas that he did publish, that's in the regular Achiezer, he says that mitzvah l'kaim divrei ha'meis applies of hushlash metchil l'kach, if he gave it over. And since we assume by tzedakah that by Hegdish there's a rule, a Mishnah in Kiddushin, Amirasa lagavoya kim sirasa lahed yadomi. When you say Amira, that you're going to give something to Hegdish, that's the equivalent of having given it over, and the Hegdish is koina. So there was a big machlekes, the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, whether Amirasa lagavoya applies to tzedakah or not. Here in the yeshiva, 3 years ago, there was such a hullabaloo. There's a wealthy man passed away, and he had a son who was not yet religious, and the daughter is very observant. The daughter lives in America, and the son and the family lived in a different country in the world. So the last time the father went to shul, whatever, Yom Kippur, the father pledged to give $500,000 to the local yeshiva. Then the father died before he made out the check, and the son wasn't interested in supporting the yeshiva. So he didn't want to observe the father's money. He didn't want to give the money to the tzedakah. So the shaila was, so this was in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo. Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in Tzfat, and the Ramo lived in Krakow. The same time, and they corresponded on this shaila. A man had pledged to give money to tzedakah, and then he died before he had a chance to pay. So if he say he took a neder tzedakah and he died, so what can you do? Even if you give the money, the father, there's no kima mitzvah for a mace. Let's say the guy died and he didn't lay tefillin today. It's not going to help to put on tefillin. The mace is patam and a mitzvah. It's not going to help to put on the tefillin now. So if the mace didn't have an opportunity to give the money to the tzedakah, so he didn't fulfill his neder. So if it's only binding mitam neder, so once he dies, there's nothing you can do to help him. So the son, not mukhif to give the money, only the time kibbutz, he doesn't want, so he can't force him. But the shaila is, maybe you should say Amirasa Lagabakim Sirasa Lahed Yadami Titzdokit. Just like we know it applies to Hegdish, the Mishnah Kiddushin says in the first paragraph, Amirasa Lagavaya Kim Sirasa Lahed Amir Lagabaya constitutes a kinyan for Hegdish, so maybe it constitutes a kinyan for Tzdokit. So maybe there's a Shibud Nachasim. So even though he died, the Yarshim HaMuchayif to pay. So that was a big machlek as the Beis Yosef and the Ramah. So the Ashkenazim usually follow the Ramah, and the Ramah in the Chuvis, it's in the Chuvis Afkas Rechel of the Beis Yosef, and the Chuvis are Ramah. So the Ramah and the Chuvah holds that you don't apply Amirasa Lagavakim Sirasa Lehedidami Titzdoka. But you look in Achreinim, the Pischei Chuvah Chashmish, but you get him, he quotes a Chasam Sefer, and Rab Chaim Ozra over here, they all seem to assume that we follow the Beis Yosef on this. But you do say Amirasa Lagavoyim. So Rab Chaim Ozer wrote in his Chuvis and Achi Ezer that since by Tzedaka you say Amirasa Lagavoyim, Sirasa Lahedidami, so it's the equivalent of Hushlash Mitchila Lakach. If he would have given the money over to a third party, to a Sholish, to give it to Tzedaka after he dies, that would have been Mitzvah Lakaim Devri Ames. That's one of the Taisas limited it to the case where it's Hushlash Mitchila Lakach. So if the father pledged to give the money, if the father recommends you should give it to Tzedakah, so by Tzedakah you say Amirasa Lagavakim Sirasa, it's considered as if Hushlash Mentchila Lakach. That's Rab Chaim Ozer says. Okay, so that's what we assume. We assume that if a person leaves in his will that they should leave a certain amount of money to Tzedakah, that would be legally binding. That's Mitzvah Lakaim Devri Ames. That would be Mitzvah Lakaim Devri Ames. So the Shaila is, but you're not allowed to be Mava Nachla from the children. So how much money do you have to leave for the children? Let's say I'll leave a dollar. For my $19 million that I'm going to have when I die, I'll leave $1 for my 9 children, and the remaining money I'll give to... So that's... I was Mava Nachla, that's not right. So how much money do you have to leave for the children? So the Tzayis HaChayshin has a Chuvas HaGoinim, from the days of the Goinim. They started Mishnah in the middle of Ksubis by Benin Dichrin. So the Mishnah says, as long as you leave, I think, 4 dinarim that shall be divided by Teres Yerusha, 4 dinarim is enough. So 4 dinarim is bupkis, is $15. So the guy has $19 million. As long as he leaves $15 for the children, that's enough. So that the Ktzos quotes that, that's very strange. So some poskim held in the Sefer Gesher HaChaim by Rav Tikhachinsky, he writes that he thinks the din should be like those poskim. You have to leave rive of your assets. You have to leave 51% of your assets for the Yorshim. And the 49% you have a right to give away to the Yorshim. So after the Gesher HaChaim is printed while the author was alive. And after he died, so his son added on an introduction. And he wrote that when my father died, as he was about to die, he gave instructions that he should do everything as he wrote in his Sefer. The minig is when someone dies, you open a window and you light a candle. So they did everything as the father wrote he's supposed to do. And that my father did the way he wrote in his Sefer, that you have to leave 51% of your assets to the Yorshim. So how much money did he have? He published his Sefer, Gesher HaChaim. Okay, so he got a couple of dollars from the seven. How much money did he have? He sold a couple of Igros Moshes. He had a few dollars. Didn't have so much money. Didn't leave so much Yerusha for his children. So the Gesher HaChaim, the author of Gesher HaChaim, so he arranged on his deathbed that 51% of the money should stay by the Yerushim and 49% should be distributed to Tzedakas. And Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He thinks that we don't have to... He thinks that what the Goyim said is not unreasonable. As long as you leave 4 dinarim, that's so insignificant amount of money, he doesn't think we should follow that. He doesn't think you have to leave 51%. He doesn't go along with that. He quotes a Pischei Tshuva, quotes a Chasam Sefer in Hilchas Nachlas. And then the Chasam Mishpat, the Chasam Sefer says, as long as you leave a significant amount for the Yorshim. So the days of Rav Moshe Feinstein, when the Tshuva was written, I think $10,000 was considered a significant amount of money. So he says, as long as he leaves $10,000 for each one, I think so. You leave $10,000 for each one of the Yorshim, you're not in violation of being Mav Nachle, even though you have another $19 million. Mistamah today, $10,000 doesn't get you too far. It's not even enough for 1 year's tuition. It's not enough for food to eat, food in 1 year. So Mistamah, $100,000, something like that. So if you leave $100,000 for each one of the Yorshim, so Mistamah, that's Daiva Heiser. So then you can give even more than 50%, you can give away to tzedakah. The Gemara there, the Gemara in Ksubas has this in the context. The Gemara has a din. If you want to give away money to tzedakah, you're not allowed to give more than 20% of your assets to tzedakah. Why? You may become poor. If you give away too much tzedakah, you may become poor. And then you'll have to collect tzedakah from other people. So what kind of a silly thing did you do? Charity begins at home. What, you give away so much money to tzedakah, and then you'll have to live off of tzedakah. So that's ridiculous. So don't give more than 20%. Shemayayani v'tztarach labir. So the Gemara says, but that's the whole reason. Shemayayani v'tztarach labir. So if the person is about to die, this is the end of the final destination. He's not going anywhere, so he doesn't need the rest of the money. So then the Gemara says, he's allowed to give, if he's on his deathbed, he's allowed to give more than 20% to tzedakah. So it's not Gemara that everybody takes off. You're allowed to give more than 20%. How much can you give? So Rabbi Tkachinsky writes in Gerasha Chaim, you have to give less than 50%. The Rav has to go to the Yorsh. And Rav Moshe follows the Pischei Tshuva, who quoted the Chasam Sofer, as long as you leave a significant amount to each one of the Yorshim, so that's okay. Yeah, let's say you have the father doesn't get along with the son for some silly reason. What if the son is yotzei to the tarbis ro? He doesn't keep any mitzvahs at all. Chal Shabbos, eats treifas, doesn't keep anything. So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Even if the son acted improperly to the father shouldn't cut him out completely from the Yerusha. But if he's not observant at all, he married a non-Jewish woman, has non-Jewish children, so then it's permissible to cut him out from the Yerusha. A lot of times people are upset about the way their children mistreated them, so they want to cut them out from the Yerusha. So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. How badly do they have to mistreat their parents that you should be allowed to cut them out from the Yerusha? Is there ever such a thing? Child hasn't spoken to the father in the last 30 years. So what's the din of such case? Unfortunately, these kind of shaylas come up. The Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam lists off the Sefer HaMitzvahs, one in his opinion are the 613 mitzvahs. So the Ramban deletes every so often a mitzvah sese, every so often he deletes a mitzvah sloy sese, but you have to have 248 mitzvah sese, you have to have 365 mitzvah sloy sese. So whenever he deletes from the Rambam's Ramach, he has to replace them with others. So at the end of the Minyan Ha'esin, the Ramban has a list of mitzvah sese, shoshachach harav, what the Rambam forgot to count. The end of the mitzvah sloy sese, he has to replace those, the number of mitzvah sloy sese that he deleted from the Rambam's listing. So one of the mitzvahs I say that the Ramban puts in the Sefer HaMitzvah, he adds on, is Esabchor ben Asnua Yakir. That's number one in the Marmei Kaimis. That the father, while he's alive, let's say the father dies at the age of 120, and the children are between the ages of 80 and 100. The first child was born when he was 20 years old, and he has a few children, and they all have white hair. And you look at them, you can't tell who's older. So he says it's a mitzvah sese on the part of the father. As a pchor ben asnua yakir, father has to let everybody know. He has to tell people this is the pchor, and he's entitled to get the pishnayim. That's what the Ramban writes. So the Ktzei Sacheshin quotes this, and he's bothered with a kasha. That's really a mitzvah sese. As a pchor ben asnua yakir, it's a mitzvah sese. Yakir enu lacherem, he has to let people know. The Gemara asks in Bava Basra, why do you need this Abchor ben Asnua Yakir? The Gemara assumes that the father is Neman to identify who the Bchor is. Yakir means Yakir en al-acherim. Let's say the father says it's clear that he has five children, it's clear that this one is older than the others. He's 20 years older than the others, clear. And the father says the next one is the Bchor, the first one is a mamzer. My wife had that child from someone else. So the Gemara says the father is Neman to say that the younger child is the Bchor. The Gemara says, based on the Pasuk, Yakir, Yakir en alachem, the father is Neman. How did the Gemara know that that's what the Pasuk means, the father has Nemanis? Even Keneger HaChazake, this one is older. They were always assumed to be his five children. He says, no, first one is not my child, it's a mamzer. My wife had an affair with someone else. The younger, the next child is my b'chor. So the Gemara says, because what do you need the whole pasuk for that the father is Neman? So the Tzais asks on the Ramban, if there is really such a mitzvah, yakir, that the father has to let everybody know, so maybe that's what the pasuk means, yakir. It's a mitzvah on the father to notify everyone. Why do you say that it's a pasuk that says that the father has namonis? The Gemara works a whole sugya. Why does the father have to have namonis? We would have known on our own, because it's biyodo. The father could have given all the matana to this. He could give matanas to all the children, whatever he wants, mechayim. So what do you need a pasuk to say that he has namonis? Isn't it obvious? So that's Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan has a tshuva. When Rabbi Shlomo Broya passed away, when Rabbi Samson Reifel Hirsch passed away, his son-in-law came from Hungary to take over the Rabbonis in Frankfurt. That was Rabbi Shlomo Broya. Rabbi Shlomo Broya passed away. There was a ganza machloikis in Frankfurt who should take over the Yerusha. So Rabbi Shlomo Broya left in Savoy. He wanted one of his children to take over the Yerusha, and the Balabatim were not happy about that, because that son had written a commentary on Shir HaShirim in German that didn't correspond to the tradition of the Gemara as how to interpret the Pesuk in Shir HaShirim. So they held that he was a shtickle, modern guy. They didn't want him. It was all machlekes in Frankfurt at the time. And because of the whole machlekes, it's all written up. The people from Chodav Torah have a Torah journal, like we have Beis Yitzchok, so they have Milan Chavivin. So they printed from the letters that are in the Gottesman Library. Someone from YU should have printed it. They have letters that were sent to the Ragachover. They have all the letters that were sent to the Ragachover after the Ragachover passed away. One of the Tamanim of his made a copy of everything, a photostatic copy, and he sent it to America because he was afraid he was going to be killed by the Nazis, everything would be burnt. He sent it every month, he sent packages. And then he sent the last package to his cousins in the Bronx. And then the next week he was killed and the whole house was burnt down and everything was destroyed. So all of these letters that were sent to the Ragachava and all the comments the Ragachava wrote on the side of the Gemara, on the side of the Rambam, everything was in the Bronx for years and years and years, and there's a whole long story about it. So the library has all of these letters from the Ragachava's, from the microfilm from the Ragachava's, and no one ever did anything. So the guy from Chovev Torah printed a whole essay in the Milan Chaviven about this whole story. So what at the end of the day was, Rabbi Shlomo Broya's son did not get the Rabbonis because the Balabatim didn't like him, and Rabbi Yosef Broya, who moved to America, who founded the community here, he didn't want to go against the father's Tavoy. He was the youngest of the children. He didn't want to violate the father's Tavoy, so he didn't take... In his community, they say, if they would have taken him as the rabbi, they would have been happy. They all liked him, but they didn't like the older brother. So the Rabbonis was taken over by the Unsdorfer, by a Hungarian. And they considered this, the Yekis considered this such an embarrassment, a busha, that this Yekishi community was led by a Hungarian rabbi, the Unsdorfer. So that's the Chubis Mate Levi, is by this Unsdorfer, by the Hungarian rabbi, who was the rabbi in Frankfurt. He corresponded with Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan. Every so often he disagrees with Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan, and the Sridi Yesh writes on one issue, he wasn't such a big Talmid Chacham that he should have the right to disagree with Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan about a certain issue, about Ger Kotten, if the parents are not going to be observant. So the Sridi Yesh writes, he shouldn't have disagreed. Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan's opinion carries more weight. So anyway, here there's a correspondence. So there's a tshuva by Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan printed in the Mate Levi, in the Unsdorfer's collection of tshuvas. Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan talks about this kasha of the Ktzos. What do you do with this Ramban? Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan says, the father has to let everybody know, not because of the Ramban, that it's a mitzvah sesei, it's a b'chor ben asnua yakir, it's a mitzvah on the part of the father to let everybody know who the b'chor is. He has to let everybody know that the others shouldn't steal the pishnayim from the b'chor. If they're going to all make believe that someone else, they're going to say, he's not the oldest, so who is the oldest? So they're all in cahoots together, they don't like him, they don't get along with the oldest one, they're going to say, this one is the oldest, and then they'll all divide the pishnaim among themselves. Or they say, no, the daughter was the oldest, and no one gets any pishnaim. So the children are going to be cheating the p'char. The p'char is entitled to the pishnaim. So if the father thinks there may be an issue, after he dies, they're not going to give the p'char what he's entitled to, so then he should make sure that he lets it be known. But you don't have to make it into a mitzvah sesei of a sapchar ben asnoa yakir, like the Ramban made a mitzvah sesei, We assume it's not a mitzvah, says we assume. It's midin hocheach tocheach es hamisecho. If you think one of the children, you think the children are going to cheat the tchor out of the money that he's entitled to, so do something while you're alive. They see to it that they won't cheat them. Yeah, many people, if they have a pchor who's supposed to get pishnayim, so I have the 9 children, I'm going to give, I don't have a pchor. Let's say one of them would have been a pchor, so if I'm going to obligate myself to give each one of my 9 children $3 million, then the male, we're going to divide everything equally, it's going to come out, the pchor isn't going to get any pishnayim. So many have the practice that they don't want to violate the din as a pchor ben asno yakalos la pishnayim. So they say the $3 million obligation that I accepted for each one of the 9 children, the $27 million that I owe, is collectible from all of my assets, except for $20,000. Should not be meshubin to this, and that $20,000 should be divided according to Hilchas Yerusha. So Hilchas Yerusha, let's say I have 3 sons, and let's say none of them are pchor, let's say one of them would be a pchor. So it would be considered as if you have 4 sons, and then the pchor gets 2 shares of the $20,000, and each one of the pshutin gets 1 share. Pishnaim doesn't mean that you get 2/3. That's what the conservatives made up a whole new pshat. Pishnaim always used to mean that the pchor gets 2/3 of the Yerusha, and then the rabbis changed it because of it was causing friction, and they say we treat him as 2 sons. It never meant to give him 2/3. I don't think anybody ever said that. That was the conservatives invented that. Okay, now you know all there is to know about Yerushas. Very good. Whoever wants to is welcome to come to the shiur this afternoon at 5:45 on Yerushas Habal.